Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Football. Drinks, beer, more football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. Julio, I said that the NFL schedule release keeps getting wilder and wilder. Think I'm joking?
You said it with a grin on your face.
The NFL continues to get things right. I think they're a model for just about every company when they market themselves.
Except for Major League Baseball, because they're smarter.
Well, baseball should watch them.
Should. Really should.
See what they're doing. So the schedule release airs May 12th at 7 o'clock. It's simulcast now on FS1. So the NFL Network is going to simulcast on FS1. ESPN is going to be doing something as well. So you have NFL Network, ESPN, and FS1. Schedule release party.
And you're just sitting over there with the biggest grin on your face about this.
Well, I'm surprised there's not a Manning cast for it. They're going to do Joe Buck for the PGA Championship. I don't know if you know this, but the Manning cast, the Omaha Productions.
I did not.
So NFL Game Day View, schedule release, streams on NFL.com, NFL app, NFL channel, YouTube, Paramount Plus, Peacock, and Prime Video.
Where can I find this again?
That's your streaming options. If you want to watch on TV, NFL Network, ESPN, or FS1.
So they're making it very easy to find.
Yeah, if you want to stream it, it's like the Royals, you can't find it, right? But this schedule stuff you can see.
You can find it in 15 different places.
It's like the Royals and Yankees the other night were on Apple TV. I mean, how many people
We couldn't even watch it here in the studio and we're their radio station.
Yeah, couldn't even watch it here at 610. You can hear it.
You can hear it. You couldn't watch it.
It'll be streamed on NFL.com, NFL app, NFL channel, YouTube, Paramount Plus, Peacock, and Prime Video. So here's your options, Julio. Basically anywhere you can go any streaming service. I'm surprised they don't put it in your brain, like, you know, a hologram in your brain.
What's mentally going on? Project it to you.
Additional schedule release specials on ESPN2 and ESPN+. There's your ESPN2 over the air, and there's your ESPN+. Your app, your phone, and/or app on your TV. Select games announced beginning Monday, May 9th. So we thought that, okay, the first one that was released between the Chiefs and the Chargers, that was on draft night. That's on draft night where they released the Chiefs and Chargers will be the first team that'll play on Thursday night. And it's not to be confused with there'll be a Thursday night game before that. It'll be the world champs, Rams, because they always play that the first Thursday on NBC. But the first prime game will be the Chiefs, which is historic, just like they were on the first Thursday night game, right? The first team to have a game, the Chiefs, outside of the Lions and Cowboys. All right, so there you go. So then the 4th, yesterday, on May the 4th, they released the international schedule, the five international games, right? So they made a deal out of that. So, all right, teams could figure out who they're playing internationally. And the dates were released. So you can start piecing these things together if you like NFL teams. Well, the schedule release is going to be May 12th at 7 o'clock. And it's got two sponsors, by the way. It's powered by AWS, and then NFL Network has Verizon. So they found a way to get sponsors.
Big sponsors.
It's a three-hour show which breaks down the 2022 NFL regular season schedule, division by division, analyzing the top matchups and primetime games. So there you go. That's what's going to be on there. And there's going to be a bunch of guests on here. Matt Stafford, Derwin James, Micah Parsons, Cam Hayward, Jameis Winston, Matt LaFleur, Nate Burleson, Mike Tirico, Franco Harris, Larry Zonka. So they're making a big deal out of this.
Yeah.
And then what they're going to do is they're also going to start releasing the games slowly as we go. So catch me on this, Julio. That's the 12th of May. On the 4th of May, we had the international games. And during draft night, we had the first prime game, right? So they're...
Talk about stretching this out.
They're stretching this bad
My
boy
gosh.
Out. May 9th on Monday, ESPN to announce during Good Morning America. So Good Morning America on ABC, because they own that one too, they're going to release their first game. Tuesday, May 10th, CBS to announce during CBS Morning Show. So here's where the partners come in. They did this last year too. Wednesday, May 11th, Fox to announce during Fox and Friends. That'll be what they do. Thursday, May 12th, NBC to announce during the Today Show. So now you're getting all the morning shows. Then on Thursday, May 12th at 5 o'clock, clubs will announce their first home game opponent. So you follow me there, Julio.
I got you.
May 9th, ESPN. May 10th, CBS. May 11th, Fox. Thursday, NBC. Then the same day the schedule is released in its entirety at 7 o'clock. But at 5 o'clock, the clubs are going to announce their first home opponents. Tickets for each game will go on sale that night.
Are we ever just going to get – this is never going back, right? We're never just going to get, hey, here's the schedule.
And if you get tickets through Ticketmaster, StubHub, or SeatGeek within 48 hours, you get a 25% discount on NFL Shop, and you're entered to win one of three pairs of Super Bowl tickets. So they want you to buy your tickets, and they're giving you justification to buy your tickets that night. And you ask if we're ever going back, and we aren't.
No. No, if there's one thing NFL is good at, it's making a production out of things, right?
But they are dragging this bad boy out. Again,
this is insane.
Again, when the MLB releases their schedule, they give you an email, you get in the middle of the afternoon. Which, you know, you might say, well, the MLB schedule is not important. It's 162 games.
Yeah,
well,
no one cares.
I think there's a lot of people. I have a friend, and he likes to take his family. Jason likes to take people to different games like Chicago or Detroit or whatever. I mean, they'll look at the schedule and they'll piece together the vacation and try to hit different locations they can drive to watch the Royals. It's something they like to do. So it is important to them, right? I mean, it's important to them to get the schedule and see what's going on.
Yeah, but it's not like the NFL, right? Where you get what your choice of what, seven or eight maybe? Cities that you're going to go to, and that's about it. Unlike MLB, where you have what, half of 162, and you can choose, give or take, as far as road games go. You just have a lot more options when it comes to baseball, so it's just not as important.
What do you think the Chiefs' best road trip is? Every year, the one you must go to. If I gave you the money and said go to it, or say you stop at the casino tonight and win $5,000, where are you going?
Right now, probably Vegas, just because it's new, it's exciting. I would probably say Vegas right now.
Okay.
Just because of the city. If you're asking me just because of the city, I'd say that.
I think so, too. And actually, I'd put Vegas one. I'd put Nashville, too. That's just a fun town.
Yeah, I would, too.
And I'm not going there this year. So the road trips for the Chiefs are, one is at Arizona.
Okay.
See the Cards play. Empower Field at Mile High.
Always good.
Which, those fans will annoy you with their whole incomplete chants. They'll annoy you in Denver. So I wouldn't recommend that one, but go if you want. At the Houston Texans. Snoozer, pass. Texan sock.
Pass.
At the Colts. It's a drivable place to go.
Yeah, but not that exciting.
Drivable place to go. I'd go there.
I would, but not in the top of my list.
Tennessee Titans, but that game's at Arrowhead.
L.A.?
Rams are at Arrowhead. Seahawks at Arrowhead. Vegas Raiders at Allegiant Stadium. There's our number one choice. At the Chargers at SoFi. That'd actually be kind of cool.
I was going to say, SoFi is probably my number two.
That'd be cool. At the 49ers at the Santa Clara, in Santa Clara Levi Stadium.
That'd be high up there. Top five.
At the Cincinnati Bengals, another drivable location. I think that's going to be the biggest game next year. And I know people are looking at the Bills and everything else. To me, it's the Bengals.
If you're
the
going,
Bengals is the get-even game because they beat the Chiefs twice last year.
Yes. If you're going strictly for football purposes, absolutely. The city itself, meh.
See, I like Cincinnati. I thought it was fun. I went there for the 2015 All-Star game. Chili's everywhere because they're Chili City. And they've got a nice
what
little
kind
place.
Of chili? Not normal chili.
They have a little
chili with spaghetti.
The yard house and there's bars and stuff down there at the stadium. Actually, it's down by the Ohio River. I actually think it's halfway decent.
You like spaghetti with your chili?
Yes, I do actually. You do?
It's not bad.
Wachowski went there like four times in like a 2-day span.
I don't know that seems excessive, but
okay, Buffalo is in Kansas City, but that would be fun to go to Buffalo to see Bills Mafia.
Yes, I do love Orchard Park.
Yeah, I do too. And we'll talk to Mike Danger from Buffalo coming up here at 7:30. Another very attractive one at Tampa Bay.
Beautiful city.
Great city.
Beautiful beaches.
As far as this season, since Nashville's on the clock, I would go Vegas, Cincinnati, Tampa.
I would go Vegas, L.A., Tampa.
Okay. So we're close.
Yeah.
I have the Bengals because it's a revenge game.
For a sports reason, yes.
This
but
is a
for
revenge
city,
game for the Chiefs. It's a get-even game.
I'd rather go to a beach than Cincinnati.
Out of all these teams, who would you rather see the Chiefs beat? I could buy Buccaneers or the Bengals. The Bills, doesn't matter because the Chiefs will get in the postseason and beat them. They lost last year in the regular season. Who cares? It's what you do in the postseason. But I think they owe the Buccaneers something, and I think they owe the Bengals something. Because the Buccaneers were peacocking a lot after winning that title.
Yeah.
Making fun of running back and all that. And they tried the same damn thing last year, and look what happened.
Yeah, but the Chiefs have also beat them in the regular season, lost to them in the playoffs. I would say the Bengals is probably because it was both regular season and playoff loss in the same season.
At least the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl game. The Bucs didn't even make it.
Yeah.
They were running back. Remember, they had every single starter back. They were, quote, running back. They didn't call it that because they made fun of the Chiefs for calling it that.
Yep, and look what happened.
So as far as ass-kicking things, I think the Bengals need the biggest ass-kicking
I would agree.
Year.
They need to be brought down a peg.
I think that the Bengals need the kicking of the ass.
I like that. It's well put.
Coming up next, they have an NFL question to ask you guys in the text line. I'll ask Julio as well next.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Bink at Night, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. Julio, the text line, a buzz about New Orleans.
Great city.
They don't play there this year, but that's definitely one that would be fun to go to.
Have you been?
Been to New Orleans a long time ago. It's a great city.
Fun. It smells like pee, but it's fun.
So did we after the parade.
I may have been guilty of that as well.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yep.
Shrimp po' boys, come on, man. Some of the fish, the crawfish, all
etouffee.
That. Like, Cajun food might be one of my favorite styles. 100%
with you on that.
I actually went to a Cajun restaurant. I think I mentioned where it is a while back ago. And they didn't have shrimp po' boys. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
They didn't have?
You got to. Or gator bites or shrimp po' boys. You got to have it.
I love some gator bites. You know, gator meat is very underrated, by the way.
There's a place up North River called Mud Bugs.
I love Mud Bugs.
Oh, you like it? You've been there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, that's the best po' boy in town.
They got a food truck, too.
They have crab po' boys. They got shrimp po' boys. They've got even one that encompasses barbecue in the po' boy.
Yeah, no,
it's a little Kansas City spin on a New Orleans classic.
They're the real deal, man.
So you like Mud Bugs. I sent Speck there one time, and he absolutely loved it.
Yeah, no, it's if you want real Cajun food, Go to Mudbugs. I agree.
I like Jazz.
It's all right.
I like Jazz, too.
It's hit or miss sometimes.
So New Orleans, top of the list as well. And I think so. If you're doing top NFL destination cities, Vegas, New Orleans, Nashville, you can't go wrong in any of those towns. Or Miami, if you want to go to Miami. It's a fun town, too.
I love Miami. It's expensive, though.
It is very expensive, but it's fun. It's F1 races are down there this weekend. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's where you go. Our J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. Where would you like to go? Plus, this next question was on NFL on CBS today. And they asked a very simple question. If the NFL announced a new expansion team, what city do you think most deserves it? So let's say the NFL is going to expand, which it could, and it will eventually, because it prints money wherever it goes, and it's successful wherever it goes. So I have no doubt there's a city out there that if they get a team, it would work. But I think you need two cities instead of one.
To keep it even.
You got
to
even it up.
Yep, agreed.
I would say one of those is San Antonio.
Was at the top of my list.
Because I'd give Texas three, and they always do a great job hosting bowl games and everything else. They love football. It would be up to the Cowboys, you know, territorial rights to give them one. But I think the state of Texas needs three NFL teams. They go crazy over their football in that state. I would love to say, like, Birmingham.
Yeah.
It's a lot smaller, but there's no football in Mississippi or Alabama, you know. College football's king down there. But they're football fans. And right now the U.S. fellas all played in Birmingham. Yeah. Every single game is in Birmingham. And they go out and support their own team, the Birmingham Stallions, but I'd give another team in the South because they really don't have any. They've got the Falcons. I guess the Panthers, to some extent, are in the Saints. Well, the Bucks
are
technically in the South. They're Dolphins. But
you can call Jacksonville.
But really, when you're looking at Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, you got nothing. So I may give one to Alabama.
I don't know that I would put it anywhere else. I guess maybe.
But San Antonio would be one of them. So where's the other one? Because I would say Vegas, but they got one already.
Yeah. West
Coast doesn't have a ton either.
I was going to say Oregon somewhere, like Portland kind of, but I don't know that they would support a team like that.
Montana.
I mean,
there's no population up there.
It's slim pickings for the rest of the country.
But there's no real population in Green Bay, too, but they do fine because you get everybody from Milwaukee driving up there.
Yeah, I was going to say Wisconsin, but that's Green Bay, Minnesota. I don't know. I don't know that there is another state that you'd want to put an NFL team, right? I mean.
Maybe Charleston, South Carolina. You're awful close to
I was going
to
say, but you're
Charlotte.
Close to the Panthers then.
Yeah. You're kind of in their wheelhouse.
No.
In Alabama, Mississippi, you really don't have that big town outside of, you know, Birmingham. But they love football down there. So I don't know. But I'd definitely
maybe
go
Oklahoma?
I'd definitely go San Antonio or Austin.
Go Oklahoma City?
You're very close to Dallas, though.
You are. But not too much further than what San Antonio would
I think Oklahoma City would support an NFL team.
I think it would.
But it's kind of in the Dallas market, though.
It is, but, I mean, again, you also have Houston down there. You know, you have the Cowboys, potentially San Antonio. You definitely couldn't put San Antonio and Oklahoma City as your two expansion teams. They'd be too close.
I'm curious. Where would you put one?
What about NFL has all been over the last, 10 years about going international? What about Mexico City or somewhere in Canada?
I think when you deal with that.
They've been trying, man.
Oh, I know that. But I think when you're dealing with that, sometimes you're talking about players not wanting to play because of the dollar, you know, and the transfer of that. But yeah,
make it work.
Make international, I think Mexico City would work a lot better than London.
Baseball does it? Yeah. I don't think London's
realistic. It's just too far to travel.
Yeah, but Mexico City, absolutely. MLB does it.
They go and play there, but they don't have a team.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's not been done before.
When it's Central Time Zone, too.
I mean, the NFL's been softening us on this, on taking that route for quite some time now, so.
Lunges is too far, man. And I know that they really they've thought about the Jags moving up there, whatever. What about Montreal?
Yeah, that's on. Yeah. Toronto.
Well, that's real close to Buffalo,
Vancouver?
Though.
That's a little close to Seattle.
That would get you up in the northwest more.
Yeah, but that's pretty close to Seattle, too. Yeah, I think international is the way to go. San Antonio, but other than that, yeah, I think you'd Mexico City.
So I would either do, I'd probably do Austin. See, in Florida, you got three because you got Jacksonville, you got Tampa, you have Miami, Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah,
but then
but
you're real close
surrounded.
To D.C.
Yeah, I was
you're real
say.
Close to D.C.
You're, I mean, you're right next to all those Ohio teams, too. I mean, I don't know that you could do that. If anything, maybe like you said, maybe somewhere in the Midwest, upper Midwest, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho area. I mean, you got a lot of surrounding states that would support because there's no major teams up there.
Well, you'd have to get the teams, some of these teams to actually agree to that.
What about New Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big
Again,
fan of
Albuquerque.
I'm a big fan of Albuquerque. I love it.
It's a nice little town.
I lived in New Mexico for 3 years. It was beautiful.
You lived everywhere, man.
I have been around the block, my man. I have. I lived in San Antonio for 7 years. I've got some mileage under my belt.
I'd say so.
New York as well.
Let's see. What's another big market? San Diego. I mean, they already lost one, but
yeah. I mean, you might as well go St. Louis if you're going to go that route, right?
I mean, why not? But Austin would be nice. Austin or San Antonio would be one of the choices.
One or the other.
How about Honolulu?
You know, I think that's a trip that NFL players would be willing to make. That's a flight they'd be willing to
How
make.
How about Louisville?
Nah, you're too close to Cincinnati's and Cleveland's.
Well, Birmingham and Tuscaloosa is the 45th biggest market. Jacksonville's 43, so it's not far behind it.
Yeah, well.
San Antonio's 31. Salt Lake City.
That's an option. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they have the Jazz there. So Salt Lake City would be an option. Huh, I'm just curious where you could put one.
Yeah, but, I mean, Vegas isn't – I mean, that's a pretty far drive, but still.
We'll think about this. We'll get to
it. Let's think about it.
Send in your choices for what cities you'd put it in, but it's a tough choice. Coming up next, I'll talk to Mike Danger about the Buffalo Bills as I go around the National Football League and look at contenders. Tonight we stop in Buffalo next.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. You spent time in New Mexico, Rochester, New York, and you name it, he's been everywhere.
I'm a well-traveled man. What can I say?
Speaking of New York, how about Rochester, New York, Buffalo Bills? 95.7 The Game from the Sports Bar. My good friend, Mike Danger. Mike, good evening.
Bink, great to hear your voice, man. Hope you're doing well.
It's great to hear from you too, Mike. And I tell you, we've just been discussing this just for fun. CBS had a question out today. If the NFL announced expansion, where do you think what site most deserves it? And our text line, some people say Toronto. That's awful close to Buffalo. I remind people, a lot of these pro teams are driving to Buffalo to fly out. I mean, it seems like it's easier to do, but Buffalo Airport seems pretty busy with these teams lately.
Yeah, right. Toronto is interesting. It's a different, obviously it's a different country, and I know that in Toronto, that would have to be, any stadium that's built would have to be built by an owner of a team there, an owner of a franchise there, and there's a lot of red tape in order to get that done. If you haven't noticed, I mean, Rogers Center, formerly Sky Dome, has been there a long time. Same with Scotiabank Arena. They've both been there now for, I want to say, going on over 25 years, and there isn't really any talk that I've heard of them moving on from either one of those venues. So getting new arenas and new stadiums built in that town, it seems like that's a fool's errand.
Well, I would put San Antonio as one of them, or Austin, Texas. Then I got to try to figure out where to put the other one. That's what we've been discussing, because I can see the NFL doing this. And you know, Mike, the whole thing is, you know, we're talking about the schedule release thing. I don't know if you guys are having fun with this up in New York, but we are with the Chiefs being announced as the first Prime Amazon Prime game. That'll be on the first Thursday, except they have that first Thursday, which is the Rams versus whoever, haven't decided it. Then May 4th, yesterday, they did the international games. And then May 9th, 10th, and 11th on the morning shows on Fox and NBC and CBS, they're releasing them until May 12th, we get the rest of them released. Isn't it insane how big this has become? Because I remember doing a schedule release show about 6 years ago, and people around here mocked me for doing it.
Yeah, I mean, this is just the NFL controlling their message, right? They know PR better than anybody. And we were laughing earlier this week on our show, Jay, that you know, Tuesday felt kind of quiet. This week in the NFL feels like most of the NFL teams, their executives are probably on the golf course now with the draft in their rear view and rookie minicamps straight ahead. But the NFL knows how to dominate a news cycle. And on the day where you don't think you have anything, well, chances are the following day you'll get a little morsel of a schedule release, like the international schedule like we got yesterday. So, yeah, they know how to control a news cycle, and they're better at it than anybody else.
Well, Mike, you covered the Buffalo Bills. Let's talk about the Super Bowl favorites that are right now the Buffalo Bills, the Bills, the Bucks, and the Kansas City Chiefs. The draft for the Buffalo Bills. How are you and how are the people in Buffalo feeling about the draft? By the way, I'm going to be honest with you. I love that punter you got, Matt Araiza. But other punters, well, I know this is stupid to talk about punters, but I'm shocked he wasn't the first punter taken. He's that good. But Kaiir Elam goes in the first round, and guess who? The Chiefs jump up there and grab a corner that Buffalo probably would have taken.
You're absolutely right. And by the way, let's show a little respect, all right? It's not just a punter. I mean, this is the punt god.
I know he is. Ray Garwinner, but why wasn't he taken first? There was a run on punters, and I was like, why didn't he take Matt?
Well, as exciting as he is, I mean, really, his job security is going to be dependent on not how well he punts the ball, rather how well he holds for field goals. And I think that's going to be the key here for Matt Araiza. And Bills Mafia have been kind of tracking his whereabouts already and seeing that he's already working hard on his hold game for Tyler Bass. But as far as the draft goes, Bing, for the Buffalo Bills, I think most Bills fans, you know, have fallen head over heels for Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, and they've earned and kind of developed this massive amount of trust with the fan base where it doesn't really matter what they do, you can justify the moves. And all of the moves, at least I could say the first five players that the Bills selected, to me, feel like they're guys that can contribute right away year one in some way, shape, or form. Kaiir Elam, you're right, might not have been their first choice, but I think when they saw Kansas City get their guy, they knew that if they didn't move up to 23, that they wouldn't have a player left with a first round grade.
He's a great corner. It's mocked the Chiefs a ton during the mock process. I like Elam a ton.
Yeah, and so Elam is somebody that you can imagine starts right away day one opposite Trey White. If Trey White is healthy, and if Trey White is not healthy as he recovers from that torn ACL, you still have Dane Jackson, who did a great job last year for the Bills filling in for Trey White. James Cook is, well, I mean, let's face it, the Bills kind of, when free agency began, they showed their hand. They wanted J.D. McKissick. They didn't get J.D. McKissick. He ended up staying in Washington, but they got a younger, potentially better version of J.D. McKissick, and James Cook, somebody who can catch the ball out of the backfield. And you get a sense that Ken Dorsey's offense might be a little bit different than Brian Daboll's, and that it might feature more two tight end sets and more pass-catching backs out of the backfield. But those first two picks, I think, had a lot of Bills fans excited. And then when you look at round five, where the Bills selected Khalil Shakir, the wide receiver out of Boise State, I mean, this move screams future for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, slot guy right now that can immediately step into the role left vacant by Cole Beasley. You also have Jameson Crowder in that role going into this year as well, with Isaiah McKenzie and Jameson Crowder coming back. Isaiah McKenzie coming back on a one-year deal, Crowder signing a one-year deal. But Shakir has an opportunity in front of him, you know, to be everything that the Bills are going to miss in Cole Beasley and more. And furthermore, if Gabe Davis has the kind of year that we think he's going to have in Buffalo, when it comes time to pay Gabe Davis, you could maybe potentially move on from Gabe Davis, knowing that you have a Khalil Shakir waiting in the wings to take over that wide receiver two role a guy that I've had a lot of draft experts compare to the next is the next Cooper Kupp. That's
wow.
High praise and lofty expectation. But when you watch the tape of Shakir out of Boise State, you could see where those comparisons come from.
I don't know what the thought there was on the Chiefs. I really like the Ravens draft. I love the Jets draft this year. The Chiefs. I'm not just saying it because we're in Kansas City. They had a knockout draft. If Pro Football Focus is big board, they got number 10, number 11, and 22 with their first three picks, and Karloftis, McDuffie, and Sky Moore, the wide receiver. A lot of people like Sky Moore. So what are people in Buffalo saying? Now that Tyreek Hill's gone, it's kind of like, okay, the Chiefs lose one of their biggest weapons, but they bring in Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantlin, they add Sky Moore. So, yes, they don't have the talent of Tyreek Hill, but it is a deeper wide receiver core they've had in the past.
Yeah, I mean, and everything you're saying, makes a lot of sense. But I think the thing that will always kind of remain true, as long as Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, you guys are going to be in contention for the Super Bowl. I think it's as simple as that. And for as good as the AFC West has gotten this offseason, and I think you'd be the first to recognize every team looks on paper, at least, like they've gotten better. The Chiefs still have the best quarterback, and they still have the best head coach. Bink, I think you're the one that told me that, and it's a hard thing to argue. So I think the West still goes through Kansas City. You look at those first three picks, specifically Moore, Karloftis, and McDuffie for the Chiefs, and you have to feel pretty good that you've got some playmakers, again, that can probably be contributors right away for Kansas City and fill some of those holes that may be left vacant.
Well, I think the national media, the narrative people want is Mahomes and Josh Allen to be the new rivalry. I think they want them to be Brady, and they want Brady and Manning to be those two quarterbacks. And I know Joe Burrow is going to have something to say about this. Who knows about Deshaun Watson, if he can get in that club as well. But, I mean, the match that's coming up, the golf. I mean, Mahomes and Josh Allen are paired together, against Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I think that's kind of interesting. I think they should have been paired, with the vets and then the young guys with them, but it's going to be Mahomes and Josh Allen. So, I'm sure a lot of people in Buffalo go, hey, man, we got the root for Mahomes one day because he's playing golf with Josh Allen. But that seems to be the match. Even NFL.com today had the Bills and the Chiefs as the best regular season game to watch this year. How is Buffalo handling the expectations? Because when you start getting these expectations of becoming Super Bowl favorites, you start carrying a little bit of pressure. How does your city feel about the Buffalo Bills, kind of carrying this number one mantra into the season?
Well, I think that there's a lot of people that are still coming to grips with the idea that the Bills are a Super Bowl favorite. That they knew they were good last year. Of course, we all endured the heartbreak of 13 seconds, and we don't have to relive that. And I think that the team has actually done a really good job of not letting that be an excuse going into this year. They've got a short memory. And more importantly, and you know this to be true as well, because you have the same situation in Kansas City, and we have Josh Allen. I mean, the idea that you have your franchise quarterback, he's really, really good. And he's somebody that, hasn't been able to get them there yet, but he's going to give you the best chance possible to get you there. It is what you're saying is all true. I mean, the match almost feels like a passing of the torch. Hey, it's Brady and Rodgers kind of handing things off to the next generation of great quarterbacks in the NFL. And how lucky will we be, Bink, if it is that, if for the next 10 to 15 years, we get
straight
to see some great, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen matchups. I mean, as heartbreaking as that loss for the Bills was, I mean, was there a better game last year?
No.
No, there was not.
And here's the thing, too. Have people come to grips with the fact that the Chiefs were the ones that wanted this rule? And I know Buffalo wanted one more chance at it because of Josh Allen, but have people come to realize that the same thing happened to the Chiefs a couple years ago with Tom Brady? They go to overtime in the AFC title game against the Patriots. Patriots win the toss. Brady comes down, scores a touchdown, game over. Chiefs proposed this rule. Does anybody talk about that fact that the Chiefs got screwed on the same thing the Bills did with Tom Brady?
Yeah, and I think anybody that loves football just wants to see it right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Fair is fair, but just want to see it right. I mean, we felt cheated, right? Didn't you feel cheated when you knew Mahomes couldn't get that crack? We felt cheated.
Even Andy Reid admitted he likes giving the other quarterback the chance. I mean, the Chiefs have... you know, they'll take the win, but they've been forefront about it, saying, no, we wish both teams had the chance. They're the ones that proposed the bill, but, you know, they haven't been like, you know, too bad, so sad, we won the game. But they actually, you know, agree with the rule.
Yeah, and I think it adds also another layer of strategy now when you look at overtime in the postseason. You know, who's kicking off, who's deferring, who's getting the ball first. I mean, if both teams are going to get the ball, is there a benefit to knowing what your offense needs to do after your defense shuts them down, if your defense shuts down an offense? I think it'll add a nice element to the postseason overtime should games go to overtime, and it feels like the right way to handle it.
Mike, we're talking to Mike Danger, 95.7 The Fan in Rochester, New York. Where are you guys at now? NHL playoffs? You guys paying attention to the Blue Jays? Like, what's on your mind right now? Or is it just all Bills offseason?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and we're going to sound like we're a real small town here, but we're really, really invested right now in the Rochester Americans, which is the minor league team
sure.
for the Buffalo Sabres. No Sabres playoff hockey again this year, which is disappointing. And Sabres fans, I think, that pay attention and have watched the Sabres this
year. I like
year,
the Sabres.
They've seen a shift in what the Sabres have done. And it's almost an addition by subtraction. I know it sounds ridiculous that when you lose a talented player like Jack Eichel and you trade away that kind of a player, that your team would actually get better. But they've built something special with the youth on that roster and the talent that they're developing. And it starts in our community. It starts in Rochester with the Americans who have made it into the play-in round of the Calder Cup playoffs. They had an exciting win in our backyard just last night where they beat the Belleville Senators, the farm team of the Ottawa Senators, in overtime to take a 1-0 series lead in a best of three series. So a lot of Buffalo and Rochester fans, I think, are paying attention to that right now because we don't have a real horse in the race in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you know, we're doing probably a lot of what you're doing. We're paying a lot of attention to what this offseason means for our team, for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Looking forward to mini camp. And you know, for us specifically, we'll have Buffalo Bills training camp in our backyard at St. John Fisher College here coming up at the end of July. So we're looking forward to having the team back in Rochester as they get ready for their season.
Yeah, I was just curious where you guys are at. I mean, this is a football town by heart. I've said it. I will say in 14 and 15 when the Royals were having their run to the World Series, it kind of shifted the baseball really quickly, became right back to the Chiefs. But with the offseason and OTAs and minicamp and the draft and everybody's looking forward to training camp and these television packages. I don't know if you guys deal with the Toronto Blue Jays or what you deal with teams being blacked out or not, but like a lot of fans in this town can't watch the Royals because of the certain restrictions, and now they're finally putting the games on the app. It's been bad, Mike, because people can't watch them every day, and they used to be able to, and they're upset they can't watch baseball. So it's kind of becoming out of sight and out of mind to just the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I feel bad for baseball. I mean, you know, if you're a purist and you love the sport, you have to be kind of frustrated with the direction that the league has taken, right? They haven't made it easier for you to consume the product. And it's not like the product is, you know, I think they forget sometimes. They're in the business of entertainment. Like, the product should be entertaining. And how entertaining is it when you've got an umpire with a vendetta kicking out a star?
Oh, God, that was so weird, man. Bumgarner.
When it happens in the game, I shake my head. I'm like, oh, baseball just isn't getting it right. You don't have kids playing it as much. I mean, we've got youth programs here that are canceling their season because they don't have enough participation. I mean, the game is struggling, and it feels like the people that could affect that change kind of turned a blind eye and don't really care. And that's before you talk about how challenging it is to just consume the product if you're able to find your favorite team. So, you know, I'm rooting for baseball. I want to see baseball succeed, but it just feels like baseball can't get out of their own way because of the lack of leadership from the top.
Yeah, I'm still freaked out what happened to Bumgarner last night. That was still too weird, man. I'll talk about it here in a minute because I'm going to talk about that story. But everybody in this town knows Bumgarner, of course, because he beat the Royals in 2014. Like, he alone, I've never seen a guy just completely dominate a World Series like he did against the Royals. But it was the weirdest situation that happened last night and a real problem. But Mike, going to enjoy the season. We still have the Bills in the regular season. We'll probably have them in the postseason, so I'm sure we'll be talking. Well, it's tradition to talk twice a year now, so yeah, we talk more than that. So
yeah, we love it, man. I love catching up with you. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're feeling well, and you're enjoying your spring and your summer here, Bink. It's going to be a lot of fun once we get to the fall. Let's not wish summer away. Enjoy while we have, but it is going to be fun here once we get into September, isn't it?
All right. Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. Tell Gene hi for me, and I appreciate your time, Mike.
You got it, buddy. Be good.
Thank you. Mike Danger right there. I'll react to some of the things. I like Mike. You know, we've had some contentious moments with the Rochester Crew and the Buffalo Bills, but I checked in on all the AFC West teams. Now it's time to look at some of these contenders. I'm going to talk to Baltimore, and I'll talk to Cincinnati, and I'll do all these things. But I'm just curious what they think about the Buffalo, because that's the – I'll tell you this much, though. When they beat the Chiefs, they couldn't hold on to being the top team. So I'm kind of curious if they could keep it up.
Yeah, well, time will tell.
Because they couldn't wear it.
Nope.
Because they go and lose to the Titans right away. I mean, they
heavy
couldn't.
Is the crown.
And then they have to travel and play at Arrowhead because they couldn't keep up with the wins last year. That game should have been a Buffalo, but it wasn't. The Chiefs gave them the opportunity. The door was open. The Chiefs left the door wide open for other teams to take advantage of it. But you know what? They didn't. And that's the key thing. We'll react to him next.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I'd never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah. And welcome back to Bink at Night, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. Just talked to Mike Danger, covering the Buffalo Bills. I can't wait, dude. I am ready.
You already ready for football season?
You know what? I wasn't there first because you're still pissed. Like, the Bengals game was a sour taste that took a month or so to get out of the mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
It's like you had a bad dinner. You're just trying to get that taste out of your mouth, right?
It's true.
I mean, the city was down, man. They had a hard time. They said they weren't going to watch the Super Bowl, but I think they did.
I said that too, and I somewhat paid attention. It's true.
It was tough to watch it, not going to lie.
It was.
Because all the highlights of the Bengals were beating the Chiefs. It was the highlight. But you know what? They fell on their ass.
I was going to say, it was nice watching the Bengals lose, though. I got to say.
I know, man. They were just out of nowhere. I'll give him credit, though. I like Joe Burrow.
He's a baller.
Kid's going to be good.
Yeah, he can sling it,
man. And they built the offensive line around. I'll tell you this much, too. Don't sleep on their draft. They already have Jesse Bates, one of the best safeties in the league. They add Dax Hill, and they add one of my favorite corners in the draft, Kim Taylor-Britt from Nebraska.
They stocked up on defense, for sure.
They're loaded at linebacker.
Yeah.
They're loaded at linebacker, so it's going to be team. Again, it's going to be hard to get that one seed. You know, it's going to be hard to be that team, to be the king of the AFC, but who wants it? Like, Tennessee had that opportunity to keep it, and they couldn't hold it. Buffalo had that chance and couldn't keep it. Kansas City had that chance early on, and I think Kansas City's good at holding on to it. They were good at kind of reclaiming it, even though they didn't have the one seed, but they still got playoffs all through Arrowhead Stadium because of the way things worked out. But Buffalo had no business playing in Kansas City.
No, they did that to themselves, 100%.
Yeah, they did it to themselves, and they have no one else to blame but themselves, and that's the whole thing about it. And, you know, I kept hearing, you know, when they talk about, you know, unfair because Mahomes and Josh Allen and, you know, how Josh Allen didn't have a chance back. I'm sorry, but the Chiefs weren't losing that game.
Yeah, we've been there,
even
done
if
that.
If Allen had time, they weren't winning that game.
No.
Patrick Mahomes was on a different level that game.
He refused to lose that game.
He was Michael Jordan that game.
Yeah, 100%.
But, I mean, you look down the stretch. I mean, they had that game where they lost New England 14-10. Remember the big win game in Buffalo? They lost that home game to
them. That was an ugly game.
Then they hammerjacked the Patriots a couple weeks after that in New England. But they lost to the Bucs. They lost 41-15 versus the Colts at home. Like, that's not a good loss.
Yeah.
They lost to the Steelers at home to begin the season. So that Jacksonville.
That one's just unacceptable.
I mean, they lost games they shouldn't have lost.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the one thing you say about the Chiefs. Like, they didn't lose the games they're supposed to lose.
Well, I will say it's going to be tough this year with how the AFC is stacked up, though. I don't foresee any AFC West team taking that number one seed.
I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, Buffalo, I mean, Chargers had a chance to beat the Chiefs, and they couldn't do it.
They did as well, and then they lost to the Raiders in a game they should have won.
If they learn that that was a good team, Brandon Staley, like, they're loaded this year.
They bring back Mike Williams. I know. We say this every year about them.
But again, this year,
every year. But
they actually are. Because J.C. Jackson comes over a corner. Khalil Mack is there.
Fool me once, Bink. No. Nope.
If they stay away from injuries, which they did stay away from for the most part last year.
And we say that too, and they're always injured every year.
But again,
I don't know.
They have a head coach that puts them in bad situations. They lost a couple
something.
Of games by this theory of going for it. You know what I mean?
It's always something, though, right? If it's not,
it's always
it's not one thing,
it's always
it's
something.
Another.
It's so, always something.
Until they prove it.
All right, you're from the Show Me State. I am too. Show me you can win. Because I'm not buying it. Until the Chiefs get knocked out of the AFC West, I'm picking no teams to beat the Chiefs in the AFC West.
Yeah, you'd be foolish
until
not
someone
to.
Could prove they could do it.
Yeah.
Because right now they can't.
Well, and as long as Patrick Mahomes is back there driving, it would be silly to bet against him.
Yeah, I mean, teams seem to melt down when they play the Kansas City Chiefs. They all want to, though. Look at the draft. They all want to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. It was all about doing it. So right now, the Chiefs are beating the Raiders. They're 8-2 in the last 10, 13-2 in the last 15, 15 in the last 18. 7-3 the last 10 against the Chargers, 13-3 in the last 16. Versus the Broncos, they've won 13 in a row. That does not scream, hey, we're good.
That screams domination.
Since 2015, Andy Reid, 36-6 against the division.
that tickles me inside.
That's pretty good.
I like it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He averages 11.8 wins a year. And now we're talking 17 games, so you're talking even more. And the over-under, I think, is 10.5 this year.
I was going to say, the under is always well below what they win at the start of the year, every year.
Regardless, we come back. There was an incident in baseball last night, which was really, really, really weird. We discuss that next.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.